Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. He is Ken Lee, the Arsenal fan. I am Tom Miller, the Manchester United fan. And it's tough right now, Ken.
Probably a little more difficult on the Arsenal side of the table.
But for now. We finished sixth last year. We understand. Although for some reason people let us off the hook because we got Europa. But anyway, we're struggling, but our heads are high, Ken. Our heads are high.
Hey, my head's high too. Head high for the future.
A lot of fun this week. We had the Wednesday Champions League match, the semifinal, as this year's Champions League continued to be the best ever.
Yeah, I would agree.
The Liverpool-Roma game was awesome. Friday, Manchester United attempted to play soccer. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we'll mainly talk about the race for fourth, Ken. As Chelsea versus
the
Liverpool.
The new race for fourth.
New race for fourth. Chelsea versus Liverpool match. Tottenham's woes. Liverpool sliding. And we're talking about the relegation battle as we have some teams I think that are clear now, Ken. They're free.
Rest in peace, Stoke.
R.I.P. Stoke. And then we'll finish
it
out.
10 years, by the way. 10 years.
Is that how long they were up for?
Yeah.
A lot of the media really don't like them because they play that ugly brand, which I think is a little unfair. It just got like stuck to them after Pulis and his teams used to use a long throw-in as like their primary attacking method. So they kind of kept that reputation, and they play ugly soccer, but they don't necessarily play the worst soccer in the Prem all the time, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're a team like Stoke, I mean, it's not. Like, I don't even, that's disrespectful. We're only saying a team like Stoke because now they're relegated, but
yeah,
they're here for a decade.
Yeah, 10 years.
I mean, that's a long time. I mean, when you're a team that nobody gives any chance, no respect, they say that you're ruining the English game.
Yeah, they're so mean.
Like, they've done their job, and out of the teams getting relegated right now, Swansea, West Brom, and Stoke, I'm the most sad to see Stoke go.
Yeah, I think they called it an uncharacteristic collapse in Football 365, which I thought was the best way to describe them because they are that team that was always a stiff opponent. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A lot of those years they finished between 8th and 12th.
Well, they probably shouldn't have. Before we get into what we're really going to be getting into, I think the coolest thing this season is all three promoted teams will more than likely be here next season, but maybe Huddersfield. Huddersfield's the only team that's like still teetering, but I think they're going to be here.
All three newly promoted teams also beat Manchester United this year.
All right, Tommy, get back into it. What are we doing?
All right. Well, I want to do one sad note here, Ken. We will talk about the excitement surrounding Wenger, but at the same time, Sir Alex Ferguson this week had a brain hemorrhage and had to have emergency surgery. So our thoughts, prayers, etc. with Ferguson. We're not going to do any kind of like eulogy or anything like that for him. It's not that time, but a lot of respect there, obviously, Ken.
For sure. Hopefully, quick rehab, quick recovery.
Yeah, so it's a very serious situation, but moving on to the football, Ken. Roma versus Liverpool at Roma. Liverpool led the tie going into this one 5-2. Two away goals for Roma are important. But Ken, it's such a long way back. And I think that's really what ended up happening in this one. Liverpool scored immediately to make it 6-2. But, I mean, Roma put it in for sure. You know, they definitely put their effort in. And they just too far to go.
Yeah. I mean, classic case. You just let too many goals in on your away leg. And the mountain was just too high to climb, but it wasn't for lack of trying. It was a
fun
super,
game.
Super exciting game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That really game and the Real Madrid Bayern game. It's been ridiculous the whole time. It's been really cool. I can't wait for the final.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool right now, as they slide a little bit in the league, obviously their eggs are in the Champions League basket at this point, although, you know, it's not like Klopp's been resting players that much. He rested a few during the Everton match, but he's trying to get his boys to finish third, you know, and not have to play an extra Champions League game, and especially playing this weekend against Chelsea, you didn't know what they were going to do. Very tough game against Roma. Mane scores in the 9th minute to open it up and kind of ease everybody into the tie, but Milner has an own goal, you know, one of those pinball own goals. Ball bounces all over the place and goes in. I don't know. It's a different own goal. You know, it's not like Phil Jones sliding side pocket, you know. But so Roma gets a goal there. And then when Wijnaldum scores, and you think, like, okay, this is now, what, 7-2 at that point?
At that
seven
point, it was
7-3?
Like, yeah, 7-2. Yeah, something
seven
like
three,
that.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
It was 7-3, and you're like, all right, this match is over. But Roma kept plugging. I mean, Dzeko scores in the 52nd. Liverpool get a few more chances, but Roma does too. It goes back and forth. Liverpool's doing something they're unfamiliar with, Ken, which is trying to keep a lead. And they're not unfamiliar with trying to keep a lead, but to actually ratchet everything up and keep people from scoring, it was clear that they're not very good at that.
Right.
They allowed goals from Dzeko, Nangolan. There it is. That's it, right?
I couldn't tell you. I'll go with it.
He's really good. I just can't really pronounce his name. 86th minute, and then in the 94th minute, a penalty. Wait, just a little too late. The game ends up being 7-6 aggregate. If Roma had scored again, it would have been a 7-7 win for them because they would have gone through on away goals. But no, they wouldn't have. They would have gone to overtime, right?
Yeah, because
Liverpool had two away goals.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It would have just prolonged it. Yeah, it would have been cool.
But awesome match. Looking forward to Liverpool versus Real Madrid in the final, Ken. Anything else you want to say about this match in terms of Liverpool's defense, whether or not they show their cracks again? What do you think about them in the form that they're in right now? And does this match mean anything to their psyche?
Which one? I kind of lost it.
Roma, Liverpool.
Oh, no. I mean, maybe it did because of their weekend display. But I think that maybe they're just highly investing themselves into winning the Champions League. And hopefully that's what it is for them. But the loss this weekend to Chelsea, I mean, definitely makes it more exciting for us. Nothing else to fight for except for who's going to get relegated and who's going to finish in the top four. Now, who would have thought this? I thought it was already locked up.
Yeah, that's the fun part about it all, Ken. I mean, we have already read the rights for Conte, Chelsea's manager, and Chelsea's hanging in there. If they make the Champions League, we'll talk about this in a second. If Chelsea makes the Champions League, does that change things? We'll find out. If Liverpool doesn't make the Champions League, Ken, does that change things? They are obviously
changes things if they don't win the Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really gotten interesting here. So Liverpool gets away with one here. I mean, they're the exciting team. They have heartbreak football.
Come to me in the middle of May, and we might be having a different discussion of what I feel based on my last week observation of Liverpool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It would be a disaster.
It would be an unmitigated disaster for sure. So let's go right into that, Ken. Let's go into the... We've been messing around with it for long enough. Chelsea versus Liverpool at Stamford Bridge? Mm-hmm. I think it was at Stamford Bridge, right?
Mm-hmm. It was, yes, sir.
At Stamford Bridge, Liverpool with the heavy legs. They got the heavy legs, Ken. Although they played on Wednesday, and the game was on Sunday. I have a hard time with that, because like in American sports, baseball players play 6 or 7 times a week. It's baseball.
Well, baseball plays 6 or 7 times a day.
Because
it's not a real sport.
But like basketball, they play every 2 or 3 days. Like hockey, same thing. And in America, they travel all over the place. Like they travel 3,000 miles, no problem. And in Europe, they complain so much about how far they travel, and the traveling distances aren't quite as far, you know, like they're not going. I mean, how many times a year do baseball teams travel from East Coast to West Coast. It happens all the time.
I think that you would do yourself a favor, everyone a favor, by not bringing baseball into it. It's not a real sport. It's
I will try not to, Ken.
It's more hobby.
I'll try not to. It's a hobby. Yeah, that's true.
Overpaid that's true. Hobby.
Very, and guaranteed salaries, Ken. Guaranteed salaries. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so Chelsea versus Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. Liverpool, the heavy legs, but the game is still really good.
Yeah, it was exciting. I mean, hey, Olivier Giroud scores the goal. Of course, I'm not even surprised.
32nd minute, and I was talking to Dr. Pete about this. You know, I don't think Giroud fit in well with Wenger's style. I think he's a good forward, but he's a forward that needs delivery. And Arsenal likes to play with their feet. He's not bad with his feet, but he's very, very good with his head.
He scored a ton of clutch goals for us.
Yeah, he's clutch, but his clutch goals come with his head.
Right.
He's one of the best headers
That's
in the
a
world.
Delivery.
Yeah, but you need the delivery in order to do that. And my point is that Arsenal plays on the ground so much that he doesn't get that many. He didn't get that many deliveries. That's their build-up style, Ken. It's slow. It's a lot of passing, and it's systematic. But Chelsea whips a ton of balls in.
The only reason I even want to see Chelsea get into the top four is just because I want the pile to get even higher. That's on Morata right now.
That's mean.
It's really just for spite.
That's mean.
It's just a spite. Because who do I care who finishes fourth at this point? It's not going to be Arsenal.
Yeah.
It might as well be Olivier Giroud coming in January and saving this club.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what he will have done.
It will be too much. It will be too much. What does a Morata do? What do you do with a problem like Morata?
I mean, with his salary, I don't think
you can
sell really sell him. Yeah, I think
issue.
A 32-year-old is your starting forward next year. I mean, it depends on who comes in. But what do they do, Ken? So let's get back to this game because we'll talk about the results of the game afterwards. Chelsea wins 1-0 here. Liverpool, they didn't play poorly, but they look out of gas. I think that was the theme of the weekend.
Well, that was the thing, yeah. Like,
the
they
big
didn't
four
play bad. They were
out of gas.
They were a step behind.
Big five. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, 1-0. I mean, 1-0 against clubs that are battling for the top four. I mean, that's going to happen to you. They didn't go out there and get slaughtered. They didn't get, you know, their pants pulled down.
No.
Embarrassed. It's one of those things. It was a away game. You lose 1-0. I mean,
away, yeah.
In the middle of the season, no one even cares that this has happened. But the problem is when it's happening and how it's happening. You just got smacked by Roma. You mm-hmm. barely made it to the final, even though you had a 5-2 advantage. Mm-hmm. You go in, you end it with a 1-goal advantage against, again, no one. You can't forget the fact of who Roma are. And it's not a disrespect to Roma, but they're not a team that deserves to be where they were. Hard work is what got them through that. And eventually, you know, they came across someone who, you know, just did a little bit more, and that was Liverpool. But they shouldn't have beat United. They shouldn't have beat Barcelona. And they almost beat Liverpool. They're almost in the final. Anyway, that takes a lot out of you. And now, you know, rewind the clock like 2 or 3 months, Liverpool goes to Chelsea, loses. No harm, no foul. No one cares.
That's right.
The problem now is there's a real battle for fourth. You only have one game left. Chelsea have two. One of those is against the team that you play on the last day of the month. Oh, no. You play Brighton. They play Huddersfield next week, Chelsea does, and somebody else on the last day of the month. I don't know who. But if they went out and they, for whatever reason, lose, Liverpool loses to Brighton, you're not in fourth. This is a disaster.
Yeah. Chelsea plays Newcastle, by the way, at Newcastle.
Okay, so they have Huddersfield, Newcastle, mm-hmm. and Liverpool have Brighton. For whatever reason, they lose to Brighton.
Yeah.
We are really rethinking the season. And then, you know, add on the potential loss to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
In the Champions League. Now, you've gotten to the final. You thought you had, third place locked up. And you don't even end in fourth.
When the...
It's a big problem. I mean, we're kind of counting our eggs, you know, before
they
hatch. I
don't think so.
But, I mean, there's a potential for a disaster storyline.
Yeah, and then at that point, all the narratives change. You know, all of them. The Chelsea narrative changes. The Tottenham narrative, if they were to collapse, they could still collapse, Ken. They lost this weekend. They could collapse as well. I mean, they could find themselves. If you know, Tottenham has the same kind of light schedule. They play Newcastle and they play Leicester. Two teams that are like 9th and 10th in the league right now, and they should be beaten. But Tottenham sleptwalked through their West Brom game. West Brom picks up more points, Ken, and I'm sure Klopp, if he were managing Tottenham, would have gone on after the game and said, they don't need points!
But now look at that. Good bringing that up. Yeah. Now look at them. Now West Brom has another week to live not being relegated yet.
Yeah.
It's very clowny of him to say that. And
yeah, we talked about that.
If what happens, if this scenario plays out, you'll start being able to understand a lot more of his words.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't say them yet. I'll save it until the end of week 38.
Yeah.
But he's going to have a lot of questions to answer for sure. I mean, he was on the road to a very, very successful season. And if the next two games, or if his next game, his two games don't go properly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He might have to get his pen and paper out and start writing the dissertation as to why the season ended the way it did to keep his job.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. It's amazing to think about. But if Liverpool finish in fifth and don't win the Champions League, I mean, what do you say about Klopp then, Ken? What is Klopp's story of the season?
We go back to what I said in the beginning of the season, that last season, you know, you're seeing the ceiling for Klopp. And I think that this would 100% back that. If this does happen, I mean, this is the level at which Klopp can bring Liverpool. And, you know, if somebody comes around that, you know, might be better, you might want to jump on them. But again, it's super premature. I mean, right now they're in third. They're in a Champions League final with a very, I think, beatable opponent in Real Madrid for the way Liverpool play.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Liverpool have a little bit better chance than a lot of the other clubs, minus a Barcelona, would have had to beat Real Madrid in the final. So I think it's looking exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about the season as a whole. And, it had an interesting narrative through the whole thing for them, because they were terrible until October. I think they were sitting in 10th place in October, Ken, where they're letting up goals left and right.
Yeah, I know that I was ripping on them a lot. But
and last season, they finished with 76 points, and they finished in 4th place. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look ahead to this season, right now, they've played 37 games, and if they win their next game, they will have 75 points, Ken, and they will be guaranteed...
I don't get off on, like, the point top four. Like you do.
It matters a little bit to me.
It matters in the respect that if you have 75 points and the next best team has 74 points, you're the best team in the league. Just
That's
the
true.
Same as if you have 67 points and the next best team in the league has 66 points, you're the best team in the league. It's very situational. So I don't really get off on this whole, oh, well, they scored 76 points last year and this year they can only score 75 and still potentially end up in fourth. This is a worse season. No, it's not. It's the same.
Okay, well, you answered the question then. But what about, do you think it matters that they have a plus 42 goal differential?
Okay, but at the same token, if they had 83 points and finished mm-hmm. in fourth, I would tell you it's the same. It doesn't matter, Thomas, if 83 points gets you to fourth, just like last season 76 points got you to fourth, you were good enough for fourth.
Yeah, I mean, I see what
just
you're
like
saying.
Just like this season, you would need, let's just say, 101 points to win the league.
Yeah.
Does that mean next season, when everything evens back out and you can win the league on 84 points, you're going to say that now Manchester City wins the league next season with 84, it's a worse season?
Yeah, it would be, I mean, it would be a
no,
less impressive
Tom.
Season.
Nobody cares about the level of impressiveness when you're
That's
winning
true.
The
Nobody
league.
Talks about Manchester United winning the league with like 75 points or whatever
Because it doesn't matter if you win it with 32 points.
Yeah.
If you win the league, you won the league. So all I'm saying is get off this point thing. Like I
won't, but I
you
understand.
You can do whatever you want, but yeah. Like,
I won't, but I understand
don't care
your
about
opinion.
The points.
So let's go back. Liverpool lose to Chelsea here, and yeah. we will go to the points here because it matters, you know, in terms
well,
of
the points
third,
matter
fourth,
now.
And fifth. Yes,
yes,
they matter.
Chelsea sits at 69
yeah.
with two games left.
And Tottenham sits at 71 with two games left. Liverpool sits at 72 with one game left.
Chelsea have a very real chance of finishing fourth.
They
if
do.
If they win out, it puts a lot of pressure on. Now, it's a big if. But all that means is if they win out and Tottenham ties one of those games, they're in fourth.
I know.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Pete sweating it big time. Tottenham loses here to West Brom, which is just, everybody wants to win games.
They're the West party Brom poopers, though, man.
Finally showing up. But you have to say that Spurs, just like United, just like, Liverpool right now, they look like they're out of gas.
They could be because, and maybe it's rightfully so, West Brom. They have all this energy. They haven't been playing since the turn of the year.
It's true. You haven't played all year.
So,
yeah, I've been trying.
These guys at the top have been fighting to, my argument, fighting to stay in fourth. Because second and third are the only thing that matter right now. Fourth is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So West Brom, if they could play Manchester City and probably beat them right now. Because now you've put them in a position where now they're like, oh, wow, you mean to tell me the last 4 months of us not having any good results, like we're going to be held accountable for that and have to play in the championship next season? We better start winning.
Yeah.
And what a good time to start winning when everyone else from, 17 down, 16 down, don't want to win a game. It's so easy to stay in the league this year because there's so many teams that don't want to win games until right now. Now you would think that now, like, they're going to win $100 million, which, let's be honest, that's probably what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Staying in the league. So
it's a lot.
So it's exciting. It's really exciting. I just, for these teams, I find it hard to have any type of sympathy for them. I mean, it's exciting to watch, but where were you even a month ago?
Yeah, I completely agree. They've won 3 of their last 4. They've taken points from
against
their last 6
clubs.
Games. Yeah, I think they've taken points from their last 6 games. Their last loss was in March.
They've taken 6 points from United and Tottenham.
Mm-hmm. Their last loss was in March, so they took points from
Liverpool.
And this
team is potentially going to get relegated.
Yeah, but
I would say still more than likely they're going to get relegated because they're 37 games in.
Mm-hmm.
They only have one game left. They have to win to go to 34 points, but you have, Southampton and Swansea still have 2 games to play, and they're 2 points above. So, you would think that the table will stay the way that it is right now, but Southampton is god-awful right now, so who knows?
Yeah, we'll get into the relegation battle a little more. I want to stick with the Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool thing. So the situation is right now, if Liverpool wins their last match of the season, they will be in third place. They will sit in third place. However, if Tottenham wins out, Tottenham will pass them. Because Tottenham then would have 77 points to Liverpool's 75, right? If Chelsea wins out, Ken, they would be tied in points. They'd have one less point than Liverpool, so they would be in fifth no matter what.
Yes.
If Liverpool gets a result.
If everyone wins, the table stays the same except if Tottenham goes to third.
Yes. So the big difference is, Ken, that if Chelsea were to win and Liverpool were to lose, then Chelsea would be tied on points, but Liverpool has a heavy goal differential favor. They're like 20 or 15 goals above them. They're also 8 goals above Tottenham. Although, in order for Tottenham to tie them, Tottenham would have to draw one game and then both win. And that's not really, Liverpool would have to lose. So it would be, if Liverpool just, basically Liverpool has to win their game. If they win, then they're guaranteed. If they draw, then they risk finishing in fourth and potentially fifth.
It's not a bad place to be in if
that's
you're Liverpool,
crazy.
Honestly.
I mean, your they're
in
their,
fate is
you
in
know.
Your hand. You're playing Brighton.
Yeah.
They're a team you should beat.
Should.
You're going into the final of a Champions League. I mean, it's not ideal, but it could be worse.
Yeah, and the Champions League final is in, like, mid-May, late May. Like, you have time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a good couple. I think you have a week. I think it's the week after the season ends.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Saturday, yeah. And I think, the season ends on a Sunday? No, a Saturday. Is it Sunday?
The season ends very soon.
May 13th, I think that's a Saturday. No, that's a Sunday.
So the Champions League final is May 26th. It's a Saturday.
So you have 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have at least a full week.
Plenty of time. I mean, they go in there, yeah. They just smash the brakes off yeah. of Brighton.
You actually have 2 weeks. You're right, because the last game of the season, it's the 13th. It's all on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. So. But still, it happens, I mean...
It's fun!
I will be thinking, what if they lose until they don't lose? Which I'd be very surprised if they do. But what if, Thomas? What if?
If they lose, Klopp does not get fired, obviously.
No
but
way.
The media loves him right now because the English teams, it's touted as the best league in the world, but we haven't had any representatives in the final in years since, I think, Chelsea, right?
Chelsea was the last one. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Oh, my gosh.
Excuse you.
Long weekend, man. Long weekend.
Apparently. Cinco de Mayo go late for you, buddy?
Yeah, right.
You just got woken up 15 times in the middle of the night, probably. Yeah, so
anyway,
I mean,
even if Liverpool wins out, there's still an exciting drama at the end because you have Chelsea and Tottenham fighting it out for the Battle of London supremacy. Who's going to finish in fourth?
Yeah, that's good stuff, Ken. City draws Huddersfield Town. A huge point for Huddersfield, Ken, as they are pretty much clear. City, after the game, I thought this is interesting. Pep Guardiola said winning the league is such a big deal. They had their trophy and everything in front of their fans. Winning the league is such a big deal because the Prem is so difficult because of all the teams in it. I looked up his quotes from August of last year, Ken, and he said that the Prem wasn't the hardest league in the world. I thought it was interesting that he flip-flopped after he won the league. Said,
well,
now this is the hardest league in the world.
Well, because now he won.
Now it is.
Because he won now.
Yeah.
I just did the hardest thing that you could do in the world.
It wasn't when I finished 20 points out of first place. That wasn't that hard. But now
other teams were winning. The league was easy.
Yeah, that's great. Dr. Pete sent me that. He sent me a quote that was like, Pep says that the EPL is the hardest in the world. And then I was like, wait a minute. I went and looked it up, and it was from August of last year that his quote
all
was
you're
that
doing
it wasn't,
though is something that,
it wasn't.
That losers do is just find little like fact checking things about what they've said 10 years ago about something, and
that wasn't 10 years ago, it was last year. I'm not doing a loser thing. I'm
you're
calling somebody
that
out
you're not winning.
I'm calling somebody out, and Dr. Pete said it best. He said managers are full of crap. It's true, they are. They're
of course, I mean, you're looking, you support, praise, and worship the one filled with the most.
That is not true, Ken. I do not worship Jose Mourinho at all. He's my manager. I hope you get a manager that you like don't really like, but you have to like. I hope that happens to you. It's
I'm
very
just
conflicting
hoping
experience.
Right now that the ticket has already been purchased one way from Juventus to
Allegri.
London.
Allegri is what you want?
Yeah, why not? Out of everyone that they're touting around, yeah. But I mean,
yeah, maybe he'll bring Morata in. There you go, buddy.
Nah, that's stupid. Don't be foolish, Thomas.
All right, so we're gonna move on. We touched a little bit on the relegation battle, Ken. Let's spell it out now. So, who do you think is clear? I have West Ham is clear at 38 points, and that's 15th place.
Absolutely.
Brighton is clear at 40, which is great for Brighton, small club. Watford had a pretty good first half of the year. They're gonna have 41 points.
Wow, you're talking about teams that are 8 points above 18th place Swansea. Of course they're safe.
Impossible. 2 months ago, everybody was in the relegation battle, and
they're not. If we're talking about relegation battle, the only team you can really worry about is mathematically West Ham.
Yeah, I think they're good though. 38's a lot of points to get relegated on.
Well, they have to if they lose both the next games and Swansea wins both, or Southampton.
Yeah, but if Swansea wins both, then Southampton would have lost one, and West Brom can't surpass 38 points. So right. West Ham is they're clear. Huddersfield is
true. I wasn't
taking
into account who they play.
Huddersfield is close. They could still get relegated in like a weird way, but it's pretty hard to do because Southampton and Swansea play each other.
And
so
Swansea plays Stoke, right? Last day of the season.
Stoke's super relegated.
But wouldn't you want that team to go down?
They are
with you?
Playing, and they're home. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Ken.
Still interesting. I mean, Stoke still has stuff to play for because now they can be the reason that Swansea goes down too.
Yeah, you have Southampton at 33 points in 17th, mm-hmm. Swansea at 33 points in 18th, and West Brom with 31 points in 19th. West Brom has played one more game than them. So West Brom, for all intents and purposes, they are heavily favored to be relegated.
Sure. They have to be. They're one game left with 31 points.
And Southampton has a sizable goal differential lead over both Swansea, West Brom, and Huddersfield, who sits above them if something were to happen there.
And on Tuesday, Southampton plays Swansea, so it could be over Tuesday.
Yeah, it should be over on Tuesday. I think it pretty much is.
If Southampton beats Swansea, then it's a wrap. There is no other thing that can happen. I mean, obviously, mathematically, yes, there's things that can happen.
Huddersfield, because Huddersfield could lose out, and then Swansea, if they win out, would actually pass Huddersfield.
But what I'm saying is if Southampton beats Swansea on Tuesday, they can't win out because Southampton would have beaten them.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though. I mean, who's your pick now? So before I had Southampton, West Brom, and Stoke, and I think you had... who'd you have?
I think I want to say I put West Ham in there.
Yeah, you might have, because West Ham was woeful at the time. Yeah.
I'd be very shocked if it ended any other way than it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. You never know with a big one-game playoff.
Tuesday.
If you have a chance to watch these games, Swansea versus Southampton is going to be awesome. It's going to be so charged. It's going to be like a Premier League title game, and I'm not just saying that to be dramatic, Ken. There's more on the line. There is more on the line for these games. So absolutely, if you've never done it, tune in to Southampton versus Swansea. Just a massive amount on the line.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So, Ken, the relegation battle is starting to finally resolve itself. Where would you put Newcastle and West Ham as teams that are classically Prem teams? How would you rate their seasons? I know it's a little bit random. Newcastle, who was just coming up from the Prem and had a great second half, and now have Rafa Benitez courting other teams. Where do you put these classic Prem teams like Newcastle and West Ham, and how do you think their seasons went?
I think we'll start with West Ham because they had a disastrous season based on the players that they brought in.
Yeah, spent a ton in the offseason.
And they brought in players that you would have imagined would have been, you know, able to put them into a European position, at least challenging for a European position. It goes back to what Koeman was saying at the beginning of the season with Everton. Like, you can't put pressure on us because we spent this money. Yes, you can. Absolutely. I would love to be a fly on the wall if West Ham were in a relegation zone right now.
Oh, yeah.
After spending all of that money.
And the fan uprising as well.
Exactly. Like, they've already, like, fans have, like, stormed the pitch. I mean, and the players have come to defend the fans and be like, yeah, they deserve more. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of, if you were to tell me that West Ham was going to finish in 15th and Newcastle was going to finish in 10th, I guess I would have said maybe. But now that it's a very, you know, very actual, like, what's most likely going to happen. Let's not forget, though. Newcastle slides and West Ham wins out. I mean, West Ham's one game away from being in 10th.
I know. That was my next point.
So,
like, all the narratives change so really much.
It's just a matter of, I think you can't really it's go exciting. Into what teams have been playing better or worse this season. If you're 10 to 18, you're like two games away.
Yeah.
From being there. And that's what's going to make the relegation zone on week 38 hurt mm-hmm. that much more, because you can look back and you can think to yourself, wow, if we showed up and we just simply beat West Brom, if you're Swansea that day, or, and I don't know if this is what really happened, but like, just go with it. Mm-hmm. Or like, if you're a Stoke and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, if we could have just beaten Swansea and Southampton, or just tied them, you know, it would have saved us. That's how close
it
is.
It's brutal.
It's not like a blowaway thing where it usually is. Like, everyone talks to, what was it? Everyone always says, like, the point thing, 38 points and you're clear. No matter what, you're clear. Like, this season almost puts that to the test.
It does.
Because West Ham's in 38th place, but 38 points. They're just as close to being relegated as they are to being in 10th place.
Yeah.
It's 5 points to relegation, 3 points to 10th, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's very close. So I would say West Ham had, between West Ham and Newcastle, 100% the worst season, because Newcastle didn't bring anyone in that was close to the caliber of the players that West Ham brought in. I mean, West Ham brought in England's number one at the time.
The number one, Ken.
Joe Hart. They brought back Little P. They brought in, what's his name? Arnautovic. I mean, they brought in a ton of players that were, you know, look like they fit the mold of a West Ham. And look at them now. Bilic fired. New manager comes in and looks like he's doing the job. But who knows? There's 2 games left.
Yeah. So I want to jump into promotion real quick. We're not going to cover a ton on it because neither you or I really watch
Wolverhampton. A little fun fact about Wolverhampton. My wife is she likes Wolverhampton.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Maybe like what they were in the league like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. And she liked their logo. So
it is a cool logo. It's so easy. Yeah, Wolverhampton
she
Wolves.
I think she was the one that brought it up to me.
Probably a huge Wolves fan.
But she just likes Wolves. Who knows? Anyway, they're back.
They won the league. They won the league. They're back. Cardiff City's back, Ken.
Love it.
We haven't seen them for a little bit. Another Welsh team. And then it's the playoff, right?
Yeah. Did you see what John Terry said?
No, I didn't.
If Aston Villa get back in the Premier League, I'll rethink retiring.
There's no way he can handle the Prem. He's so old. Stop it.
Stop
it right now. Well, the odds for the next promoted team coming out of the championship, Fulham is the favorite, 9-5, and
Fulham America.
Villa is right behind them, and then Middlesbrough, Derby, Ipswich, and Millwall. Millwall very distant with a 200-1 chance here. That's fun. They do that little playoff where they figure it out through.
We need like Millwall to be back in the Premier League while West Ham still is, so we can have real life Green Street hooligans.
We do not need Millwall in the league.
Violence. Violent. Pure violence.
Sounds like a way to have that. Remember that year that Derby came up and they had like 12 points on the season?
Yeah, it was bad. I don't know if it was 12, but it was bad.
It was bad. So the promoted teams are coming up. Your wife's Wolves are coming up. I think that's great. Probably sneaks around wearing her Wolves jersey.
I'm probably exaggerating how pumped she is about it, but needless to say, she has told me she likes that club.
You don't need to say that. I know. Well, let's move on to your team, Ken. The Arsenal. All these other teams falling asleep. Man United, we'll touch on briefly. Miserable performance on a Friday.
terrible.
I didn't even know they were playing on Friday. I don't know how I forgot. I set an alarm for Saturday. I don't know why I did that. I was looking at the schedule, and I had to go back and watch the game. And it's so bad to go back and watch the game after your team is lost. That's brutal.
It's not a loss. I mean, it's the West Brom.
I love this picture you just texted me. It's Oliver Giroud smiling.
Oliver? Don't be Olivier. Disrespectful.
It's whatever. I'm not French. Olivier Giroud. Smiling and Morata giving the mean mug, sitting next to each other on the bench. That's cute.
Very true. I couldn't pass it up.
It's very true. United miserable playing against Brighton. They lose to the they complete the hat trick of losing to the newly promoted teams. Brighton out of the relegation battle completely with this win, and Jose just goes ham on his team afterwards. The usual. My team's not good enough.
Per the usual. Yeah. My unbelievable. It's not even newsworthy anymore. I mean, you can guarantee if Man United lose, it's nobody's fault but the 11 players that you put out there. Not the tactics that were put in. Not the weekly practices or the weekly lessons or the tape that he put into place. It's the 11 players for that 90 minutes. They're terrible. They're god-awful. We need to rehaul everyone. They all need to be let go. With the exception of Lukaku. He has a little love affair with Lukaku.
Yeah, he said after the game, that's why I play Lukaku every time, because Martial and Rashford can't score, can't set anything up. He was just brutal. He didn't mention Martial and Rashford. He just said, that's why I play Lukaku instead of these other guys.
I would be very surprised to see Martial in a United jersey next season.
Yeah, I mean, Jose is right that his players have definitely had times this year where they did not show their quality. At the same time, you're setting them up. Like, everybody else is beating these teams. You're the one who sets them up. If you go to win every game by one, which is what Jose Mourinho does, he sets up to win every game by one.
Yeah, if you watch that game,
you're going to lose again. Sometimes.
The same thing I said last week, the United-Arsenal game. United don't show up to play until about the 75th minute.
Yeah.
And they did that again, but it was just too late. Like, it's hard to get a goal against a team that is parking the bus.
Yeah, we have some horrific losses this year. The thing that bothers me the most about this loss is not really so much that we lost to a bad team, a relegation team, or a newly promoted team. It's that, you know what, United, if they win out, they could have had 86 points. And that doesn't mean anything to you because, like you said, you still lost by a million. But 86 points in like more than 50% of the years in the Prem would have won the league. Then you could be like, well, we could have won the league.
You sound so terrible. You sound so sad right now, Tom.
Points matter. They do.
Points matter. Based on the situation of the season. And I find it very hard for you to find an argument to go against that. Because right now, would need 101 to win the league.
Points matter.
Of course points matter, Tom. In this season, the only points that would matter is if you had 101 points.
But we had like 60 last year.
Who cares?
Me cares. Me cares.
You're terrible.
I want my team to be better than they were last year, and they are better than they were last year, but I also want them to be the best Manchester United team since, like, 2011. I want that, too. I want this to be a team that can build on this year's success, say, you know what, we finished second, now we can go to first. But if we slide into fourth, then I'll be really mad. I mean, at that point, because all these other teams lost, that can't really happen. But it almost did. It almost did. Like, if Liverpool and Tottenham had won, sure, there would have definitely been a conversation I would have to be having. And there is a big difference between finishing in second and fourth, even when everybody loses the league by 20 points.
Yeah.
It matters.
I mean,
I think it'll matter more to you
so
next
aware,
year.
I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble anymore on the points thing, but 86 points wouldn't have won you the league last year either.
That's true, it wouldn't have.
Saying, like...
More than half the times, it would have won the league. The point total that Sir Alex Ferguson used to shoot for was like 84, 83. And having 86 is a nice amount of points. It is. And I think that it's easy
well,
for
you
know, to
we're
say,
looking
wait
for
a minute.
Nice results, that's fine. Go ahead.
It's easy for you to say points don't matter because they haven't mattered to Arsenal in like 3 months. Arsenal's 9 points out of fifth.
Well,
so it's easy for you to say.
You don't have to resort to taking
yes, I
shots.
Do. Yes,
I mean,
do.
Just because your argument doesn't make
yes,
any sense.
Yes, I do.
Points
I do.
Only matter when you have the most. It doesn't matter if you finished sixth last year with 60 points and now you finished second with, 83 points or whatever you have. 70. You can finish with 83, I think, if you went out.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Matters to me.
Because you one time in the last 5 years, 86 points would have won you twice.
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 I won the league. Time machine could have won the league.
Yeah. Pick the right league.
All right. Let's move on, Ken.
Last time United won the league, by the way, was 2012-2013, 89 points. So your 86 points don't matter. Who cares?
Me cares. So that
you're an idiot.
Arsenal 9 points out of fifth place. But last game of the Emirates for Wenger. Did you get emotional? Be honest.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's the only manager I've ever watched.
I get it. I won't dog you for that.
Watch him. You know, he goes out. I mean,
I like the tunnel they gave him. What do they call it? The honor guard or whatever.
Yeah, it was cool. And then, you know, he walks out in the beginning, they pull everyone out. He walks back out at the end. He gets one last walk, you know, to himself. It was nice. I think it's what he deserved. And if anything, to me, watching it today made me realize how glad I am he's leaving this season rather than going out next year. Because next year he wouldn't have gotten any of this, because it would have been in the air what was happening, because it would have been up to the board. Are they going to renew his contract or not? And they would have actually had to come out and say, we're not renewing your contract. It would have put a little bit of a different, it would have dampened the mood a little bit, because it would be the club deciding we're not going with you anymore.
I agree.
Right now, even if there's something going on in the back end that says, look, you are leaving this season, don't make us go public with it, you come out and say it, I appreciate that more than the very real possibility of seeing that next season. Because now we get the parade, we get the little plaques, you know, people coming out, you know, tweeting and Instagramming, whatever people are doing now to like show their respect. The crowd is showing up, the fans are showing up, they're not being disrespectful. They're finally now realizing that after, you know, a decade of no real success outside of an FA Cup here and there, that their chance actually have been heard and Wenger will be out, but they've come out and they've been respectful. It was awesome. There's only one Arsene Wenger. You let Arsene give a little speech.
Yeah, good speech.
It was really cool. Yeah, I mean, he leveled with the fans. I mean, I think that he embodied, like, we're never going to see that again in management. Just like United will never see anything like they've ever had with Ferguson ever again.
Nope.
The league, what Wenger is to the league dies on week 38 of this season. You'll never see it again. Never. Longevity doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
He said today he's a fan. Like, managers, yeah, aren't,
I like that,
aren't in the club long enough to even be a fan. Like, no. He's given 22 years of his life to this club. Of course he's a fan. And he'll be watching the games for no other reason than the fact that he loves Arsenal. Not the fact that he has some type of, like, weird managerial tie to the club. He's a legitimate, I think, diehard Arsenal fan. And it's sad. It's sad to see. Now we just look to the future, and you hope that the board has sense enough to hire someone who has the wherewithal and the resume needed to start a club basically from the ground up.
Yeah, and I think a big thing that he talked about, Wenger said that he wanted the club to stick to the principles no matter what, and the building blocks that make Arsenal Arsenal, their playing style, etc. He doesn't want them to bring in like a Jose Mourinho mercenary type who might win a trophy for you but will sacrifice the club's principles. He doesn't want that. So I thought that was interesting and, you know, admirable, obviously, because he's a man that coached based on these principles and stuck to them, even to the chagrin of fans for the last X amount of years.
Yeah, I mean, you have to admire someone who believes so much in what they're doing that they kind of block out everything around them. But, you know, yeah, like you just said, to the dismay of the club, to the dismay of his legacy, maybe, I don't know, but
yeah,
change the game, change the way a lot of people think of it, and hopefully the future is bright for Arsenal, because I need a league title soon.
You do. Let's start with the bad news, Ken, as Arsenal is dumped out of Europa. They lose 1-0. Diego Costa completely bullies the back line. My goodness, Ken. Monreal got thrown off Costa on a fast break. And then shortly thereafter, Bellerin gets tossed to the turf during the goal. And it was just one of those things where you're just like, what would Chelsea have been like if they had had this guy playing for them? And he's not like a superstar striker, but his style is so fitting for a team that wants to scrap for points.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a superstar striker. I mean, yeah, one season ago, he's single-handedly the reason that Chelsea wins the league.
But he's not like a 40-goal guy.
Don't need to be.
I love his style. I love that he's playing. And I say I love his style. I mean, he's a bastard, let's be honest. He plays bastardly football. He pokes eyes. He trips people. He dives. I mean, he's a bastard, Ken.
He does whatever it takes, though. I mean, you gotta, yeah. You gotta admire
and what would Chelsea have been like? We've asked this so many times this year, and I don't hear anybody else asking these questions. What would they have been like if Conte hadn't gotten in fights with David Luiz, who I don't rank particularly highly, but plays very well in his system as a center back, and Diego Costa? Like, what would have happened, Ken? It would have been a totally different year. They're going to lose United out on fourth place, probably. Probably third. And I'd be lamenting
be talking about how great points. It is to have 86 points.
Well, yeah, probably. I probably would. I'm not going to lie. But anyway, so Diego Costa throws down the Arsenal defense.
Yeah, it was sad, but, you know, what are you going to do? To me, the end of the season and the parade of everything great that Arsene ever did for Arsenal, it's a perfect ending. I would have liked to have seen him go away with a European trophy to give him the one last thing he hadn't had with Arsenal or anyone for that matter. It would have been nice to see it, but, you know, it wasn't meant to be. Now, as a club, as a fan, I move on, and I hope that the powers that be have the wherewithal to know who the right man for the job is, and not only to take the club into the future, but to spend the money that's been allocated for players and spend it wisely.
I agree completely. Moving on to better news, Arsenal in Wenger's last match at the Emirates. Fans were fantastic, Ken. When I was watching the game, I at first thought that the red seats were empty. They were not. They were jerseys. The fans were all red. I was really worried that they had not shown up.
T-shirts, I guess, that they handed out. Yeah,
I was so worried it was empty again. I was like, oh boy. But thankfully, it was not. They gave him a great send off. And Arsenal, the team, gave him a great send off as they smacked a good Burnley team 5-0. And you saw good play from Aubameyang and Lacazette, who, Ken, I would have to say, are vital building blocks for your next squad, especially Aubameyang, who is a much better finisher than I thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, he's an out-and-out striker. I mean,
he is.
He's a cleanup. He's a cleanup scorer. I mean, he's in the right place at the right time. 95%.
But he's a great finisher, and Arsenal haven't had that in a long time.
Haven't had it since Van Persie.
No, that's right. Van Persie scored more outside the box, but Aubameyang is so quick that he's such a great poacher, but he's also a guy who you can put through. I mean, he's going to outrun every center back in the league.
Right, yeah. So now I'm just glad that we're seeing towards the end of this season to what you were saying, the building block, I think, hopefully to next season, as Lacazette and Aubameyang will hopefully be running the front line.
They seem to work well together.
Yeah, they are. I think they're a good team, and I think that says a lot about, I think, Lacazette.
I think so, too. It's interesting to me. I mean, he has been the guy out of the big bought strikers, Morata, Lukaku, and him. I mean, he's been the guy that has spent the most time on the bench. Morata got all the playing time in the world. Obviously, Lukaku did. He played like every minute until he got hurt. And he's been kind of lost in the shuffle. He hasn't scored that many goals, but I thought his performances have been better than Morata's. Morata would score the goal, and we would talk about it because he'd get a header here and there, and especially early. But I thought Lacazette added so much more than Morata did later. Even when he was going through his dry spell, he was still setting up goals in the Europa League. And I think that he offers more going forward, as he seems to have adjusted to the league as it has gone on, as opposed to Morata, who got worn down by the physicality.
I agree. I really have nothing to add to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I would say it was the future is bright going forward just based on this one game. I think
absolutely not. I mean, we got to get a manager.
Have to happen.
We'll see who the next manager is going to be, and I think a lot will be told at the day that they appoint a new manager. We'll see what's happening.
Very true, Ken.
If it's Mikel Arteta or Patrick Vieira or like a Thierry Henry, I think that, you know, we've got a long day ahead of us.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's look ahead to next weekend, Ken, as we've talked about a lot of these games already. Actually, during the week, we have a bunch of games. We have Tuesday, Southampton versus Swansea. Probably get in trouble at work if you skip work for Swansea versus Southampton, but, I mean, you'd get a lot of street cred, probably, from me anyway. That's a Tuesday match.
Boys, take an early day.
his Tuesday match. And Chelsea plays Huddersfield at Stamford Bridge. That's on Wednesday. If you're bored, you can watch Arsenal-Leicester, I guess. City, Brighton, and Tottenham versus Newcastle. Those are all the Wednesday games. They're all around 3. A couple of them are 2:45 starts. Some important games in there, Ken. The Tottenham game, the Chelsea game. Important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the battle for 4th.
Yeah. And then United plays on Thursday. I'm going to reset my alarm to not be on Saturday, as they are playing on Thursday against West Ham. Weird game on a Thursday. And then everybody plays on Sunday, Ken. All at 10 a.m. I love that.
I hope they lose out. I hope United lose every game for the rest of the season.
That's mean.
Because then you Don't may have it. A battle.
For third.
It would just be great to me. I'd add it to your long list of obnoxious accomplishments that United have done this season that inevitably will have mattered.
What is my long
will
list?
Have mattered none.
What list are you talking about?
We finished
about?
In the prestigious second place because yes! it's the best you could get in.
That's We're, right.
We could potentially score 86 points.
Points.
So many points.
Points.
Just ridiculousness. It would. Gosh, I will go to sleep praying to the soccer gods that United lose out, and somehow the only team that can catch you is Tottenham, and I think that I might just reserve a little bit of just, I might just, you know,
fine.
the
go
proverbial
ahead. Cheer for Tottenham.
Cut off your nose to spite your face.
Fine.
Just because I don't really hang out with any Tottenham fans. I only hang out with you, so it'll just be fun.
I'll bring Dr. Pete on next week then. We can compare Tottenham and Arsenal.
Oh, tell me specifically because of the fans of United, I want them to be to have an epic demise because it's not even United that's the problem. And you'll be happy to know that you're in good company. Every United fan that I come across is delusional.
I'm not that.
They think that next season they're going to win the league.
I didn't say that. Did not say that.
And,
I think
and,
we'll be in
and
it.
That Jose Mourinho is the savior of United, and I personally don't think for the next 5 years, as long as Mourinho's there, you're ever going to win the title.
That's fine. That's fine, Ken. That's fine. Anything else you want to add besides
no, I got
that
a lot
you
off
don't
my
like Manchester United? I'm glad United's finishing means something to you that gives you something to watch for the rest of the season.
Hopefully.
All right. Well,
I'm gonna watch awesomely, honestly, the last two games that Arsenal has because I'm gonna miss Arsenal on the sideline. And you're lying if you say you're
it's
not.
True. Yeah. No, I will. I have respect for him. We're gonna let it go here now, Ken. But we're still working on the format of our World Cup podcast. It'll be starting around mid-May. As this season winds down, we'll do a season in review. And we'll do some transfer stuff as each week happens. But we're going to do a World Cup podcast. That'll be a little bit separate. Ken and I will be doing a ton of homework. Right, Ken?
Yeah.
Ton of homework?
Yes.
Yes. A ton of homework. And spelling it all out for everybody. And then when the games start coming thick and fast, it'll probably be a rotating cast. As Ken and I can't handle the weight all the time. You know? We got babies.
There are babies at play.
Yeah, so I will let it go here. For Tyler Offeld, for Ken Lee, for Ken Lee's wife, the huge Wolverhampton fan, and for myself, I hope everybody has an awesome week and enjoy these games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then all the season ends on Sunday, May 13th. It's been a great season. We're looking forward to the end and giving our season review podcast. Ken, anything else to add?
I got nothing.
All right, everyone have a good one.